Good morning. For those of you that didn't know, that was the Spirituals. That was Miss Barbara and Mr. J's family and their group. And I'll tell you, every time Miss Barbara does that yodeling song, I think about Spencer. And she's been doing that here since he was just a tiny little fella. I will never forget, one day we were riding along, Ginger and I, and Spencer was in the back seat, and he was kind of humming that song. And he got to the part where she was saying, Yodelehi. And Spencer started saying, old lady, old lady, old lady, old lady. And to tell you the truth, it sounded almost like that. But that was just a blast from the past. That was wonderful this morning. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for being here a little earlier this morning. Man, what a beautiful day God has made. What a beautiful, beautiful day that He has made. I'm so glad that you're here. This morning, Powhatan Church family, any visitors that we might have joining us remotely, I'm glad that you chose to worship God with us this morning. Take a little bit of time out of your day. I hope all of you have had a great week. And you know, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Just a couple of announcements before we move into the message. Don't forget, we will have our Wednesday evening virtual worship service at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. So make sure that you make plans to join in. You can go to our church website, click on the live stream button, and join in from wherever you are. We are planning right now on reopening our sanctuary on the 28th, June 28th. We're working out the final details on this, but probably, and you'll receive more information about this, we'll have our normal Wednesday evening virtual service at 7 o'clock the week before we move back in. But I may schedule a time just like that on Thursday night where you can listen in on our web and we'll talk about what you can expect when you come back. It's going to be a little bit different. We'll be utilizing our sanctuary, our fellowship hall, as well as our older fellowship hall. We'll have some things in place for your safety. And I will tell you, while we want everybody to come on back, if you do not feel comfortable, we want you to stay home because we want to make sure you feel comfortable when you come back. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that our church is safe for your return. Deacons, we're meeting tomorrow night. Don't forget about that, 7 o'clock, and we'll talk through some more details about that. So please stay tuned for more information about our reopening. One of the things that this virus has affected this year is our graduates and our seniors, people that are graduating high school, college. They have had their world turned upside down. They've not been able to do some of the things that seniors would normally get an opportunity to do. But one of the things that we have always done here at Powhatan is recognize our graduates. We present them with a Bible, and we will be recognizing them that first Sunday back in our church on the 28th. I know a lot of people, a lot of you, would like to give them a graduation gift. If you would like to do that, when you come back on that first Sunday, we will have boxes with their names on them in every area where you can drop in a card, a gift, any, whatever you might want to do, we'll have those available. If you are not going to be able to be here that first Sunday and would like to get our graduates something, can we put those on the web? Oh, they're on the web. The names are actually out on our website. You can mail your card or gift to our P.O. box, or if you're here, you can drop it in the next couple weeks in the tithe bucket. But we'll make sure that it gets to the proper channels. I also have, this is kind of a personal announcement. I don't know if y'all know, but I'm going to be a granddaddy in about a month. I'm looking so forward to this. That kid does not stand a chance. He just doesn't. But anyway, we were going to give Spencer and Emily a shower. With everything going on, that just is not possible. So what we're doing instead is on Saturday, June 27th, they are having a drive-in shower between 2 and 4. This is over at Emily's parents' house. It's on 107 Creekside Drive in Selma. If you can come by, there's not going to be food. We're going to have little bags that we're going to give you. Believe it or not, I think there is hand sanitizer and toilet paper in the bags. There's little goodies. But if you'd like to come by, you are all welcome. Some invitations went out this week, and I will tell you, Ginger's number to RSVP is incorrect. So you have my number on the web. You have it in an old bulletin. A bulletin on the web, you have it there. So if you can come, great. If you can't, that is great too. But just wanted to make you aware of that. We want to enter into a prayer time. And I want to thank you for your prayers for this young lady, Sarah Coker, that we have been asking prayer for about a month. Sarah passed away this past Monday night, about 10 o'clock. I had the privilege of joining with their prayer group the next day and having prayer with them. And I'll tell you, this young lady, I think she was 28, she leaves behind a legacy that without her, we talked about it, this group of ladies that is coming together and that is praying would have never done this. Without Sarah, they're planning this prayer group to continue a Bible study. And just keep her husband, Craig, as well as her mother, Sue, in your prayers. Also remember the family of Taylor Creech. This was actually the son of Buck and Sandra's niece, Tammy Rogers. Taylor, I believe Taylor was in his late 20s, passed away very suddenly this week. Just a shock. And so please keep Tammy and that family in your prayers. Remember Miss Janet Jones. She had some tests this week, praying for some favorable results. Remember Beverly Casey's mother. She went to the doctor this week, and the doctor informed her that she had had a heart attack. She didn't even know about it. She's going to be going through a stress test in about 2 weeks, and Beverly's going to be out down there in Georgia. So just lift her up. Many of you know Rupert Hogg. I got a call from Rupert this week. Rupert had a rough week. Rupert went to the hospital, found out that he was having a heart attack while he was there, transported him from Clayton to Smithfield to Raleigh, put him on a ventilator, and Thursday night, Rupert was home and he was talking to me, and he called me. He said, Roger, he said, I've never been a church-going man. He said, but I'll tell you something. He said, God got my attention. He said, when I get to feeling better, I'll be at Palatine. And He said, think about it. He said, don't you think this is a miracle? He said, I was on a ventilator 48 hours ago, and I'm sitting here talking to you today. I said, absolutely, God is good. Keep him lifted up. Continue to remember Miss Cheryl Cobb, Miss Sandra's sister, Wayne King, Miss Sue Green's brother, Leonard O'Neill. This is a neighbor of Miss Janet Jones dealing with cancer and not doing too well. Remember Pauline Johnson, a friend of Donna Riggs with breast cancer. Remember Brother Ray Stevens. Continue to lift up Pauline as she recovers from her surgery. Also Miss Ann Nairn as she's going through her rehab, and I also understand they lost a family member yesterday, an aunt in that family. Please remember them. Continue to remember Matthew Bennett as he recovers from his knee surgery. Keep Miss Linda Davis in your prayers. This is Miss D. Day's sister. I talked with Miss D. last night. Miss Linda went through her surgery last week for cancer. She went through part of her reconstructive surgery this week. She was in surgery for 13 hours on Thursday, and they still have more to do. So please continue to keep her lifted up and remembered. Kemper Hudson, young man that's doing better, but we still need to remember him. Brother Percy Smith. Keep my daughter-in-law, Emily, in your prayers. Jenny Amon, recovering from her open-heart surgery. Kimberly Smith, Ms. Carol Broughton's daughter. Continue to remember Adrian Smart. Let's remember our world. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If we ever needed Jesus, we need him now. I've never seen things so upside down and back to front. And we've lost sight. We've lost sight of what's important. And we need to turn our faces back to the Lord. He's the only thing that's going to solve all this. Let's pray. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our sick. And let's pray for each other. Would you bow with me as we take all these to our Lord in prayer? Father, we praise you this morning. And Father, what a beautiful day that you've made for us to worship. Father, we lift up to you all of our sick, all of those that stand in need of a special touch from you. Father, we've seen your amazing grace and your hand at work in the lives of so many people through the years. And there's so many more right now, Father, that need you. Would you touch them as only you can and provide for their situation, Lord, what is needed? Father, would you touch our world and our leaders? Father, would you give them guidance and direction, Lord, that they look to you. Father, would you heal our land? Father, as we worship you together this morning, we pray for your blessings, and we pray, Father, that you touch each and every one. Write your words on our heart that we might not sin against you. And for all of these things, Father, we'll never fail to give you thanks. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have just a couple more I meant to mention. Remember Jamie Coates? Jamie had another beginning of some chemo this week, and he had a reaction to this. I think they got him straight, but he certainly asked that we remember him in our prayers. Also remember Miss Janet Codispodi's mother. The place where she is living has had an outbreak of this COVID-19. Now, Her mother feels pretty safe. She says she's staying in a room. They, you know, they're taking precautions, but it is there. And so please remember her mother, that she won't have to deal with this. Miss Lee will be safe through all of this. And also remember Miss Joyce Adcock's brother, Paul Hyde. He was involved in a motorcycle accident yesterday afternoon and was actually at the hospital when I talked to Miss Joyce yesterday. I had all three of those written down, but just completely overlooked those. But please remember each and every one of those. If you happen to have your Bibles this morning, our scripture is coming from Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And we're going to begin reading in verse 18. And I want you, church, to listen. I want you to listen to these verses. I'm no theologian, but I can tell you this. I believe what the Bible says. I believe every word of it. Even if I don't understand it, I believe it. So when I tell you, you can take these words to the bank, make sure you realize that you can do that. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Church, and I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world that we're living in right now. Our nation is under siege. Our nation is under siege by a bunch of different things, not the least of which are militant groups that are protesting injustices that, by the way, still do exist in our country. But they are destroying property. They're hurting others. They're placing fear in the hearts of many. But it's also personal. There's a lot of you that are hurting. There's a lot of people that you know in your family that are hurting. Maybe someone you know or you yourself, you've been diagnosed with a sickness. Maybe you lost your job in the middle of this pandemic, or it's in jeopardy. A loved one has passed away. Prayers that you have on your heart just don't seem to be answered. I mean, don't get me wrong, you're doing the best that you can. And things just don't seem to be getting any better. You know on one side that you're God's child, but on the other side, you don't have an answer for the pain that you're going through right now. And maybe you're asking the question, where, Pastor, is God when it hurts? I had some communication with a friend of mine this week. Lost a son several months ago. I can't imagine. I don't want to know. But I know he's having a hard time dealing with it. I can't imagine what Tammy is feeling today, knowing that her son is gone. I can't imagine how many tears she shed, how many prayers she said. And the hurt is still there. And I'm afraid sometimes all of us go through times where we wonder, God, where are you at when it hurts? There are some people that think God has given them a tough life, whereas everybody else is just on easy street. Sometimes we feel we suffer more than anybody else. But that's simply not the case, because everybody has their own unique troubles and trials. Your friends may not have the same troubles as you. Your problems may not be the same as mine. Everybody has their own share of struggles. But the scripture we read this morning says that the Lord promises to deliver us out of them all. All. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. As you read through the Bible, from Abraham to King David to John, all were afflicted. All were in trouble. And every one of them came out of their troubles as heroes of faith, stronger, higher. Doesn't mean that God enjoys putting us through trials. Doesn't mean that at all. In the world of sin that we're living in, there is pain. But God will deliver the righteous out of it. I want to take just a brief time. I won't keep you too long this morning. But I want to look at some situations in the Bible where God's saints had trouble, but God delivered them all. And I want to let's look at how God works in the middle of our hurts. And one of the way God does that is God will test our heart in the hurts we experience. Do we believe and trust God even when we're in the middle of pain and suffering? Do we believe in the promises of God even when things look impossible? Do we trust in God when we don't understand His ways in our life? Our trials can be a test of our faith. Every trial the Israelites went through, from the Red Sea to the Promised Land, was a test of their faith. God was testing their heart to see whether they would be faithful to Him. Three of my favorite examples of coming through the test that God allows us to face are the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar, at that time, he asked all the people to fall down and worship this golden image that he had set up. And these three young boys, history tells us that they were probably teenagers. And Nebuchadnezzar looked at him and said, "Are you going to bow?" Man, these kids had some backbone. They looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, "O king," and I'm paraphrasing, they said, "Open up your ears and listen good. No, we will not bow to an idol. And king, we know that you have the power to kill us. But king, we know that our God can deliver us." And I love where they go from here. They said, "But king, hear me. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down." That's kind of bold, isn't it? "King, even if he chooses not to deliver us, we want you to know that we're not bowing down." Bible says that they were bound, tied up. They were thrown into a furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than normal. The Bible says it was so hot that the men that took them up there to throw them in were killed. Threw them down into the fire. All the king's people were watching. Nebuchadnezzar was watching. And Nebuchadnezzar walks over and he peeps down into the fire. And I want you to listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said. "Lo, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire." 4 men! They tossed in 3. There was 4 in there. Listen, let me tell you something. When we're going through a trial and you think you're by yourself, you're not. Somebody's with you. God Almighty is with you. That's my buddy. He said, "I see these 4 men there walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is likened to the Son of God." It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors gathered together, saw these men." Now listen. "Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." They didn't even smell like smoke. Who can do that but God? God tested them, and they proved faithful. And eventually, God promoted them. If you read a little further down in Daniel chapter 3, it said that the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Scripture says the king promoted, but make no mistake, this was all God. Folks, when we're going through a hurt, God is right there testing our heart. But there's always a promotion if we trust God. all that are going through a trial this morning, understand that God is with you. God doesn't just test us, but God directs us in our hurts. Sometimes we have no idea what God is doing as we're going through these trials. If you go over to 1 Kings chapter 17, you read about one of my favorite Bible characters, and that's Elijah. When I get to heaven one day, I want to sit down with this dude. I just like him. I love how God used him. I want to find out what it was like. You know, he was taken to heaven. He never did see death. He was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. I want to know, hey, Elijah, when you were standing out there in the desert and you saw this fiery chariot coming down, how'd you know to get on? That would have scared me to death. But in 1 Kings 17, Elijah goes to King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And he said, I want you to know, there's going to be a drought in the land. People are going to die. Plants aren't going to grow. And it's only going to be when God says rain is going to come that rain is going to come. Ahab and Jezebel didn't like that message. They sought to kill him. So God led him out of town. God directs us in our hurts. God led him out of town. Took him down to a little brook called Cherith. And in this drought and no food, there's where Elijah stayed. And guess what? He had water to drink from the brook every day. And God sent the birds, the ravens, to bring him food every day. God took care of him. But there came a time where the brook dried up. And the birds stopped coming. If you were Elijah, what would you think? I'm in a mess now, Lord. I got no job, no ministry, no food. Now I've got no water. I can't survive. God, you sent me here. But all I see right now is a dry stream and no food. If I'd have been Elijah, I'd have felt just like giving up. I felt like it would have been the end of the road for me. But when you read the story a little bit further, you find that this hurt was for a change, for a new direction. God sent Elijah to a city called Zarephath. And he told Elijah, he said, there's a woman there that's a widow that I have instructed to take care of you. You remember the story, don't you? Elijah shows up to this woman. There's a drought in the land. And she's down to just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And she said, I was just getting ready to make a little cake for me and my boy, and we were going to eat that, and then we were going to die. He said, make me one first. And she did. And you know, her meal never ran out. God didn't just provide for Elijah. He provided for that widow. He was directing Elijah to a new destiny. Sometimes God brings a hurt to get us moving. Don't give up in your trials, but look by faith, because I got a feeling there's a greater destiny coming your way. God also corrects us when we hurt. Let's admit it, there are other times when we're just plain wrong. We've strayed into sin, we've made the wrong choices, and we need God's correction. We talked about this young man on Wednesday night, Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God. He went in the wrong direction. Was thrown into the sea. But God was so good that even before he could repent, God sent a great fish and kept him alive in the sea. Jonah repented. And God brought him out of that situation and led him back in the direction that God wanted him to go in the first place. What about the parable of the prodigal son? This guy that took his share of his inheritance and set off into a distant country and squandered his wealth with wild living. After he'd spent everything and there was a famine, he was in need. Went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country that sent this Jewish boy into the pens to feed hogs. The Bible says that he longed to fill his stomach with the scraps that the pigs left behind because nobody gave him anything. His wrong choices and his sin brought him to that situation. He had nobody to blame for that situation but to himself. Ever been there? Ever found yourself in a situation? Sometimes we like to say, you know what? If he hadn't done that to me, I wouldn't be in this situation. If she had lived up to her word, I wouldn't be in this situation. A lot of times, we look ourselves in the mirror though, and if we're honest with ourselves, we say, you know what? If it wasn't for you, me, I wouldn't be in this situation. I love what the Bible says about the prodigal son. It says one day he came to himself. He realized his situation was of his own making. And he finally felt so defeated, he corrected his attitude and decided he'd go back to his father's house. He went back as a slave or a servant. But his father saw him a long way off and ran to meet him and welcomed him back as a son. Folks, aren't you so glad that when we mess up, and we do mess up, if we come back to God and ask for forgiveness, he takes us back as his child. He loves us that much. Do you realize that when we deliberately stray from what we know is right, God has promised he will correct us. Hebrews says, as ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all made bad choices. But that does not change God. He loves us and is still drawing us closer to him. And if we'll repent, he'll forgive us and he'll bring us out. I can almost hear somebody that's listening to this, either here or remotely. I can almost hear you. Pastor, I hear what you're saying. But you don't know what I've done. I've made too many mistakes. I've messed up too bad. You don't know how bad I've hurt other people. You don't know how bad I've sinned. You don't know how many times I've taken the Lord's name in vain. I've gone too far. I can't go back to God. You're right about one thing. I don't know your situation. But praise God, I do know this. I know the God I serve is a forgiver. I know He is full of grace. I know He is a restorer. I know He is full of mercy. And I know He has not given up on any of us. He's not given up on any of us. Maybe He's exposed our sin. The double standard we're trying to live by. But that's a good thing. This is not the time to get bitter. God's in it, and He's correcting us, and if we'll just let Him, there'll be joy and rejoicing if we'll just let Him. 4, God protects us in our hurts. Sometimes God uses failures and problems to protect us. In the Old Testament, Joseph was the favorite son of his father. His father gave him a coat of many colors. Remember the Dolly Parton song? And his brothers hated him. His brothers despised him. His brothers came up with a plan. Let's catch him, throw him in a pit, and we'll sell him into slavery. And that's exactly what they did. They ripped that coat of many colors off of him and dipped it in animal blood, showed it to his father, and lied to him, said an animal must have killed him. And they forgot about Joseph. One moment he was the favorite son of his father. Next thing he knew, he was in chains, being sold into slavery. Life couldn't have been any worse. I'm sure he felt defeated, lonely, rejected, unloved. But church, I want you to know this. God had a purpose and a plan for what Joseph was going through. God took him out of slavery and made him a ruler in Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh. Years later, there was a bad famine in the land. And Joseph looks up one day, and guess who is coming to buy food? Those same brothers that sold him into slavery. Let me stop right there. What would you have done? If you asked me, I'd have probably looked at him and said, you didn't expect to see my smiling face again, did you? You had me back in the desert when you chained me up and sold me into slavery and threw me in a pit. Who's got the upper hand now, Jack? Guards, arrest them. Put them in jail. I'll decide if I kill them later. That would have been what I wanted to do. But Joseph realized that God had placed him here for a reason. And Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers and said, I'm your kin. I'm the one you sold into slavery. When he tells them who he is, they were scared to death. Wouldn't you have been? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I want you to listen to what Joseph tells his brothers. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I love this. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all Egypt. Joseph probably felt defeated and a failure until that very day away from his family. But now he realized it was only because of God's protection upon his life that he was where he was, and now he had a chance to save his family's life. It gave him a new perspective. Joseph looks at them and says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Maybe in the trial you're going through right now, unbeknownst to you, you have got God's hand of protection all over you. Last item. Hurts and trials make us rely on God. I see a couple of my young people, Johnny and Sarah. Hey, wave at me. Yeah, thank you. I love both of them. They're just such good young people. All of our young people are just outstanding. But I got to brag on my adopted daughter, Sarah. I don't know how many times I've got a text from Sarah that says, "I've got a friend, or I've got somebody that I know. Will you pray for them?" I don't know how many times since she was a young lady that she would walk in and ask me, could she talk to me? And she would share something that was on her heart. And you know why that impresses me? Is because when I was her age and even younger, a lot of times I felt like I was strong. Miss Betty, all your boys growing up, all of us boys, we kind of felt like we were, yeah. Got older and figured out I ain't all that. And sometimes hurts and trials come in our lives, I really believe, to get us to a point that we are so far down, we have no choice but to look up. It makes us rely on God. The Apostle Paul, he's another one that I'm looking forward to meeting when I get to heaven. Listen what he says about the hardships that he went through. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, beyond strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God which raiseth the dead." A lot of Bible scholars think this is talking about a riot that broke out in Acts 19 in Ephesus. Christian lives in that city were under threat. Sound familiar? Paul must have gone through some emotional stress and physical threats during that time. And as you read his writings, He came to the lowest the human spirit can come to, where he said, we felt like we had received the sentence of death. It was hopeless. We'd given up. No way out. But then he adds, that was there to make us rely on God and not on ourselves. Paul says very clearly that it was the trial that he was going through that helped refocus his attention back to God. Wind it up, dude. Maybe you felt like Paul. Can you say this with Paul where he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul says it very boldly, that hurts, hardships, and trials cannot destroy a child of God. Our challenges cannot destroy us. They can't stop us and will not be crushed. One of the major reasons God sends suffering, I think, is to refocus our trust in Him. Folks, God is alive and well, working in our lives, even when we don't realize it, in the middle of the storm. I want to share an illustration with you in closing. And I may have shared this with you before, but it bears repeating. And I cannot remember his name, so I apologize. But I heard the testimony of a Christian comedian one time. He was doing a concert in Georgia, a show. And they were going to record it for an album. And he said that afternoon, he said, we were going over the test, and the recording truck would just not work. We couldn't get anything to record, he said, and we had to scrap plans to do the recording of the album that night, or the CD. He said, and I was so disappointed. He said, and I told my team, I just got to get out for a while. He said, so I got in the truck and I drove over about 20 minutes to Stone Mountain. He said, I parked the truck and I walked down to the water. He said, and I looked up. He said, and I saw an eagle flying. He said, I saw an eagle flying. He said, and I thought to myself, you know what? My daughter loves eagles. I'm going to get a picture of that. He said, so I ran back to the truck and I grabbed my camera. He said, and on the way to my truck and on the way back, he said, the sun went behind the clouds. The wind began to get up. And one of those afternoon summer thunderstorms was coming in very quickly. He said, and all of a sudden, he said, I got angry with God all over again. He said, God, I was looking forward to doing this album, and I can't do that tonight. But now, God, all I wanted to do was get a picture of this eagle for my little girl. And by the time I get back, that eagle's going to be gone because he's going to see that storm coming in and he's going to break for cover. He said, I got back. He said, I saw something amazing. He said, that storm continued to come in. He said, but instead of that eagle breaking and running for cover, that eagle turned into the wind and let that wind lift it higher. Instead of running away from the trial and the storm, that eagle turned into that and let it lift him higher. Maybe that's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. James writes, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Church, that means that God is working through everything that happens in our lives, no matter what the problem or the heartache might be. God can turn it around for us, and in the process, make us in the image of His Son. Amen. Would you bow with me as we are dismissed? Father, You remind us over and over in Your Word that You've always been with us. You tell us not to fear. And You draw us close into Your presence. You're the only place we find refuge in the storms that surround us right now. Lord, You're the only place we can find peace and strength. So we ask for Your words of truth and power to strengthen us in our inner being and our life and in our hearts. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that You know the way that we take and that we know You've got a plan. We look to You today, our Lord and Savior. It's Your face that we seek. We thank You, Lord, for Your word that says You give us the power to come out of this trial like gold. Thank You for the storm that we know will not last forever, but that we're only passing through. Thank You that nothing has taken You by surprise. You know the journey that we're on better than we know it ourselves. And You'll use this time of testing for good. Thank You that You've overcome sin and death and any evil that we might face today. And because of You, that we too are overcomers. We too can have the victory and walk in Your peace. Thank You that You are our Redeemer and You'll not waste our pain. Thank You that we can be assured of all things, not some things, but all, will work together for good to those that love You and are called according to Your purpose. Thank You, Lord, that through this trial, You're using our lives and our circumstances to make a mark on the world. Draw us close to Yourself. May many know of Your great name. May they hear of Your works and miracles of Your faithfulness. We choose again today, Lord, to fix our eyes not on our troubles that surround us, but on You alone. We love You. We need You. We choose to look to You today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. God bless you all.